Hello and welcome to this podcast extra special, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. Now, in addition to our regular Friday content, every now and then we might release a little something extra, and that might be something like our profile in urgent care, or in this instance, a conversation with three doctors based in Ireland who have been studying the UC course whilst living in Ireland, and they've flown over to New Zealand to sit the UC PECS exam. So whilst they were here, we arranged a little whistle-stop recording just to get their thoughts and opinions on studying from overseas and just find out how things have gone. And I just wanted to say a couple of things before we hear them. The first is that they are 2 days in the country when I'm talking to them, so they're all still quite tired and jet-lagged, and it's only really the day before they actually sit their exam, so I'm very appreciative of them taking the time to sit down and have a chat when they've obviously been through an awful lot to get here and are preparing for an exam still. So a big thank you to them for taking the time. And the other thing is that we were six doctors sat in a fairly echoey room. So on occasions, the audio quality might drop or you might just not quite hear somebody. I've cleaned things up as best I can, but as I say, we were recording on the fly, and as a result, the audio quality is not perfect, so I apologise if you struggle to hear certain bits, but I think having listened to it, I think it sounds okay. So I hope you enjoy listening to it. I hope you enjoy hearing their story from Ireland and studying the course. I hope it might inspire some people from all over the world to consider taking the urgent care training from the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. And again, just one big final thank you to these three guys for sitting down and having a chat to me. I appreciate them squeezing us into their busy schedule. Hey, so welcome to this podcast extra special. My name is Guy Melrose and I'm your host. And today it's a special because we are with three doctors who have travelled an awful long way to be with us today. Introducing Dr. John Morley.
Hello.
Dr. Nadine Durand.
Hello.
And Dr. Zeeshan Khan.
Hello.
So these guys have travelled over to sit the UC PECS exams, and they've been studying the course from overseas. So we wanted just to get them in the same room together so we could find out a bit about their experiences of doing the course and their how they came to find the RNZ-CUC. Also in the room, we've got Dr. David Sorrell, who's our Director of Clinical Training.
Hello again.
And Dr. Afraz Adam, our Director of Professional Development.
Hi, guys.
And between the six of us, we're just going to have a natter about the course and about their experiences. So I'll just get the ball rolling with a question to which one of the three of you was the first to find the Urgent Care College of the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care, I should say.
That would have been me. So my background was GP training in Whanganui. And as part of the GP training, I was working in Whanganui Accidental Medical. So I had heard wind of it through that avenue. So then when I started working in urgent care in Ireland, I looked it up and started to link in with it. And then Zeeshan and Nadine copied me, which was a great compliment.
And you're now based in Ireland, all three of you?
Yeah, the three of us are based in Ireland. So myself and Zeeshan are in the same clinic in North County Dublin. And Nadine is in our flagship clinic, which Afraz has been to, in South County Dublin.
And just a little bit about you yourself. So you're GP trained at this point, or are you?
Yeah, so I did my memberships in New Zealand, and then my wife decided not to return to New Zealand, so that put paid to that plan. So I did GP in Ireland, but the healthcare system, as the two opposite me will attest to, isn't ideal in Ireland. So I did GP for about 6 months, and then we switched to urgent care.
Nadine, what's your backstory before you got to urgent care?
Well, I graduated from University of Cape Town, and I did some work in emergency medicine there and infectious diseases. And then I went on to work at sea on the ships for 2 years. And then I did some emergency medicine in Ireland, and I went home to Cape Town. And then I got a job in urgent care in Dublin quite by chance, and that's where I met everyone and Terry as well, who's now a fellow in urgent care. And that's where I heard about the college and decided to join or to
dive. And Zishan, what's your backstory?
Well, actually, I've got experience in emergency medicine. I did a year in emergency medicine. I then did a year in anesthetics and completed the diploma in anesthetics as well. Did a little bit of GP work as well before coming to Ireland, but like all doctors, trying to find a niche between emergency medicine and GP, and ended up working in the urgent care clinic. And then John Morley mentioned to me about the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care.
So you've mentioned urgent care in Ireland. How does it differ, John? Because you've worked obviously here in facilities. How does it differ?
It's very similar. So much similar that we use the same software as you guys. So we use MedTech. So when I did my
good thing.
So when I did my induction in the clinic in Ballally, which is in South Dublin, the doctor shadowing me was kind of learning from me about MedTech because I knew all the shortcuts for my training. So that's when I realized there was massive links between urgent care in Ireland. It's very, very similar. Probably our clinics are probably busier than, well, definitely busier than WAM, and probably as busy as most of the main clinics in Auckland, I think. Do you know, because there's only two clinics in Dublin, which is a population the same as Auckland, I guess. So it's very similar.
And are they set up the same in that they've got x-rays on site? And
correct, yeah. And yeah, they've got x-rays and we have radiologists reporting within 3 hours as well. So it's quite a good turnaround time with them. It's probably similar to here.
Ideally.
Yeah, so and then the nurses would do casting, and we've got orthopedic backup and ENT and MaxFax and
pediatrics,
yeah, and like a brand new pediatric clinic as well. So yeah, we're pretty well set up.
And 24 hours?
No, it's 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
8 to 10.
Yeah.
So Dave, how many overseas people have currently sat the exams that these guys are here to sit?
I'm not sure that I can actually grasp the number without my computer with me. Only a handful. We've had a few people who've been in Australia and one from the UK. Nobody has actually sat from Ireland before. We did have Terry Tu, who's these fine doctor's supervisor who's working there now, but he didn't actually complete his training. Most of his training was in New Zealand, and then he moved over. Although I think his fellowship interview was while he was skiing in the Alps over a Skype phone. So that was the most interesting fellowship. Yeah. So there's a few. There's a growing number of interests. The issue is workplace similarity, and obviously this is the closest that we've seen anywhere, I think, in the world so far, apart from Australia. But even in Australia, it's very, very new.
And Afro, you were just over in Ireland because Dinesh got married there conveniently, so you were able to have a look, and you went to these facilities and had a look.
Yeah, that's right. John and Z were extremely kind enough. They actually came to where I was staying in Dublin, escorted me in the public transport to their flagship clinic, which is, I've just got one word for it, it's a very flash clinic, purpose-built, of course, and it's got all the modern-day technologies that you'd expect of a decent urgent care clinic. It made me want to quit work here straight away and go and join their clinic. They've got a very good setup, and I believe that's where Nadine is based,
yeah.
And Z and John are based in another one of their clinics, but the setup's amazing. It's more than fulfills the criteria to be an accredited urgent care clinic. It is a very similar setup to Auckland, if not better.
So maybe Nadine, if you take this next one, in terms of studying for the course, it's all been online. Obviously, very, very distant. You couldn't be more distant if you tried. So how have you found the experience of being so far away from here and preparing for an exam that you're having to get on an aeroplane to kind of put your faith in being ready for it?
It's been a bit challenging. It's been quite self-directed, but the three of us, at least, I think if I was doing it on my own, it would be very challenging. And yeah, I've just used the UCC, the course, and then all the textbooks, and try to just throughout the year kind of prepare for it. And I've done a lot of, I don't know about the guys, but I've done a lot of courses over in England as well, which has helped a lot. Busy doing a diploma in musculoskeletal medicine, which has really helped. And there are a few x-ray courses, which the prescribed textbook for x-rays, it's run by those guys, and that was excellent. So yeah, I think would have been great to be at the practical skills weekend, but besides that, I think we're probably fine. Yeah.
And going forwards from here, is there interest, are you planning to then be the hub for like supervising other people? Do you have people interested?
That would be my intention, because I suppose of the three of us, I'm the only Irish one, because these are South African. Not to be racist, but you know, they may have plans going forward, so that the plan would be that I would be remaining in the clinic long term, and then our employer wants to have more fellows trained up if it's possible, to raise the standard of the clinic, because they're expanding as well. They're opening two new clinics in the next year or two, so they want to kind of raise the standard and have an accreditation with a kind of academic body, which would be the Royal New Zealand College.
So maybe your best place then to talk about urgent care in Ireland. Mm. How is it recognised with the medical council?
It's not, is the short answer to that. So the medical council recognises general practice, obviously, in emergency medicine, but urgent care doesn't have a foothold as yet. Although the plan would be down the track that we would get it recognised. So our external advisor is an emergency medicine consultant down in Cork, and he's kind of pushing for it to be recognised. So I suppose this would be one of the strings to our bow to kind of push it. Urgent care is growing both from our company's perspective, but has also been two or three new clinics opened up by a rival company. So it's definitely expanding, and it takes the pressures off the overburdened public A&Es in Ireland, which are probably more burdened than here.
So is Ireland similar to the UK in that you've got your A&Es or EDs and GPs, and then this kind of
absence, pretty much. And Ireland is very much a two-tier country in terms of healthcare delivery, in terms of health insurance. So you've got the public sector and the private sector, and there's a massive gulf between the two. So the public sector is under huge pressure. So we get a lot of patients who come to us inappropriately because they want to avoid the public sector. So it's kind of, yeah, it's a shame, really.
So are there people in the government who are recognising urgent care as being the...
Not as yet.
How about your ED colleagues?
ED colleagues, it's a mixed feeling. So the likes of Ivar, who's our external director, is very, very optimistic about it going forward. And then other ED consultants would be a bit not... what's the word to use? They're less accepting of it at this stage. But we definitely take the pressure off the local A&Es. And so in Cork, there's a very good working relationship, but that's because the urgent care clinic and the hospital in Cork, there's only one major hospital in Cork, whereas in Dublin, there's lots of different A&Es kind of competing against us. Well, not competing against us, but... Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. You might hear there's a little beep in the background. We'll just make sure we're not about to blow up or anything. So urgent care, much like here, is... your plan is to fill the gap that exists.
Yeah, and that gap is being filled. So even the fact that a new company has entered the market, so a large European company called Affidia have joined. So they've opened up what's called express care clinics, so one in Cork and one in Dublin, and they're going to open up some more as well. So it's definitely a growing sector.
Going forwards from these exams that you're all going to pass, because you've all prepared
we're all gonna sit,
very well
yeah.
for it, you're then going to continue the fellowship pathway as is. That won't require any further trips back to New Zealand, will it?
Well, of course, there will be the fellowship ceremony trip.
My wife lets me go.
Which is going to be an annual event arranged by AFRAS in September each year. So that would be a compulsory trip, I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely. If you can write to my wife and say that would be great.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you're based in Ireland. You're working in Ireland at the moment. Is your plan to return to South Africa? Are you both from?
Actually, I don't know where I stand at the moment. And
wife comes into it.
Pending that the exam goes well and complete all the courses and come through for the fellowship ceremony, I think that would probably be one reason for me to continue staying in Ireland. Because obviously with the fellowship and the facilities that are in Ireland, it would be a good base to continue working in urgent care. Or alternatively, maybe even come to New Zealand for a while.
Great.
So you're post-em, Grace. Thank you. Thank you, New Zealand.
probably do an exchange.
That's something we've talked about.
Definitely. That would be pretty awesome.
I was going to ask Afraz, are you down to do the clinic inspection audits? is that your... So we've talked about your experiences doing the course overseas. You've got a supervisor there who's worked here. Mm. From the other support and your other colleagues, are they understanding of those that aren't involved in
They are very understanding and more so actually with senior management. So they were gung-ho about actually supporting us like financially and giving us time to study and covering all the course costs and stuff. Yeah, so they've been very, very good. So like that musculoskeletal course that Nadine mentioned has been covered by VHI as well, by our employer as well. So they're very enthusiastic about getting the ball rolling and making it an ongoing thing, I suppose. Yeah.
And did you explore other options? I suppose not if you'd already been in New Zealand before.
Yeah, I kind of had the inside track. So I knew, regardless of the other two and regardless of my employer, I probably would have applied anyway. But it worked out quite well, actually, in the end. Yeah.
And Afraz, most of my ongoing recertification is done online now and loaded online. Will these guys be doing the same BPAC online recertification stuff and meeting the same requirements?
The requirements remain the same for New Zealand trainees and fellows as well as overseas trainees and fellows. And the whole reason our course has been made into this friendly online format is to support our growth internationally as well, to allow people with access issues in terms of travel and things of this sort, they'll be able to access our online material easily. So most of our recertification for fellows, as you know, are all online based, and they'd be able to attend webinars and things that we are hoping to offer in future, including our urgent care conference, which we're planning to have in 2019, that will be offered as a live webinar for them to attend the whole day conference and gain their CME points as well. And just on a note of when they'll be coming back to New Zealand, I had a friendly chat with their CEO and HR manager.
Yeah,
they're Scott a lot of great Lawrence, guys, yeah. very yeah, much yeah. on board. Their company's HR manager and CEO, very much on board and very accepting and promoting of urgent care. And they sort of gave me their word that if these guys complete all the satisfactory requirements, they will accompany these guys to honor them in their fellowship ceremony. So it's great because they're on board
and we had
chats about sort of a more formal commitment to urgent care, and they're more than happy to look at providing at least about 2 or 3 trainees to join the college every year instead of waiting for one bunch to graduate completely. Now they're on board with the thought that they might actually have 2 or 3 trainees joining every year, which just means great exponential sort of growth in Ireland and the UK as well.
Yeah, so much like the college here started small and continued to grow. John's now expressed an interest in growing it there. So if there's a fellow there who can oversee those things and the clinics and the training and the growth, 1 leads to 2, leads to 4, leads to... And that's the plan, I guess. And being close to the UK, have you had any interest from people working within the UK?
Depends on Brexit.
Right. Yeah, that's the elephant in the room at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll move on from that because I don't understand what's going on with Brexit at the moment. So you've all come over to sit the exams. How long did you leave flight-wise? Like, how long have you been in the country for?
John and I arrived on
Tuesday.
I almost said Sunday. We left on Tuesday. Sunday Tuesday. And we arrived on Tuesday.
We are tired.
2 days ago.
Yes. Right.
Just the day before then.
So that's obviously a factor for
overseas. We've got people, you mentioned Dave from Australia, they obviously don't suffer with the same logistics of coming from the other hemisphere, but so far so good. Yeah,
I've been here before. What do you want me to say? It hasn't changed.
like your run up to the exam now, you feel you've given yourself enough time to be fighting fit.
It's hard to fight against jet lag, being honest. But I think we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
yeah.
And are you purely just focused on the exam here, or are any of you taking a bit of a break in a
For me, a bit of catching up with people in Whanganui, and then Zeeshan is going to extend his stay.
Yeah, I'll be staying for a little while longer, just for an extra week, just taking a bit of a break as well, because I've come over with my wife, so.
Whilst over here, it makes sense. Is there anything you'd say to anybody? I think you've mentioned, Nadine, a little bit about the course being on your own. You wouldn't have liked to have done the course, but is there any other tips you'd give to people who are considering, who are listening in any part of the world about getting involved?
I would say that it would be, from my perspective, I found it helpful to have a lot of stuff done before even applying for it, to kind of fast track your progress. So for instance, I had a few diplomas done before even doing the course and extra courses and stuff, so that kind of made the transition easier, you know, because there's less pressure and less demands on you. Because the course can be quite demanding, particularly if you're working full-time, if you have family and stuff like that. Yeah, so I would probably do a bit of groundwork even before applying, and actually that would probably make your application easier, I would imagine.
Yeah, but David, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, it's definitely true. And really, to know what you really want to do often requires a bit of work, and things like emergency and pediatrics and even anesthesiology can be very useful, although there's not a lot of that we do these days in the community. And those hours usually count, certainly in emergency medicine, for your training. So they're not wasted hours and always very useful, especially if you can do subspecialty pediatric emergency medicine. And there are, you know, if you were researching it, you could look at courses available. And certainly if you're overseas, it doesn't really matter when you do those courses, because you're going to be not funded by the New Zealand government anyway. So you can get them under your belt and do them without pressure. So trauma courses, PALS courses, papers, looking out for epidemiology papers and peds papers and things, or musculoskeletal medicine. You can look at these things that will count towards the training program regardless, and so pick and choose and get some experience.
It's certainly, I mean, I found urgent care when I came to New Zealand without really realizing it was here, but I did the sensible thing and stayed here and did the training in situ, which is obviously one way of doing it, but it is as we've said, it's an expanding specialty worldwide, so the fact that we can offer this service, that's one of the reasons I wanted to chat to you guys, was just to make people aware that training can exist from anywhere in the world, and as you say, you might come back to New Zealand, you might do if your wife
I'll persuade her
sees sense. So we've already got you, it's a compulsory return for the fellowship ceremony, definitely.
I believe so. Yeah, compulsory, yes, absolutely.
yes. They must be picked up and signed in person, isn't it? Right? With a fingerprint. So I'd like to say thank you to you guys for agreeing in your jet lagged states to have a chat, and just to let people know, because we have been listened to currently in 25 different countries around the globe. So it hopefully, as more people hear it in different places, they might consider doing what you guys have, and it is quite a big undertaking flying here to do it, so my hat's off to you all for doing it, and thank you for sitting down and saying some words, and good luck for your future careers, and maybe we could catch up in the coming years via Skype or in person even, just to see how you guys are doing and how you plot your Northern Hemisphere world domination.
Thanks for hosting us.
That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks very much. And thank you,
Afraz. Thank you. Thanks.
You were amazing, Afraz.
Pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Cool.